How about now? Okay. Okay. You know, many times it seems that the scriptures exhort us to do what maybe we would rather not do. Jesus taught in Matthew 6, he said, love your enemies. He said, do good to those who hate you. Well, that's just not natural. Well, you just don't want to do that. You know, if somebody is our enemy, we don't want to love them. We might want to love them with a pie in the face, you know, or something like that. But, you know, that's not our nature. That's not what we're to do. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul tells us, in everything, give thanks. Okay, well, you know, everything covers a lot of ground. And it's hard sometimes to be thankful in difficult situations, though it is the will of God. Paul said in that verse in 1 Thessalonians, it's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? Concerning you. He said, in everything give thanks. Nah, not today. I give thanks for a few things. I'm not giving thanks for everything. You know? That's how we do. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul said this. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, what's that say to us? What jumps in our heads when we read that scripture? Well, obviously, he's saying, well, we don't want to be foul-mouthed people. But that's not the limitation of that verse. When he says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, what he's saying is, let no worthless words. Well, you can use a lot of worthless words that aren't necessarily foul as we interpret foul language. How many words do you speak a day? How many words are spoken in a day? Millions, you know, really, millions. And we may not be cursing every other word, but it may be just the language, just the things that we speak about are foolish, are worthless. And he says, don't do that. Again, this is one of those things that goes against our nature because, some folks are naturally very quiet. But some folks are not. Some folks, you know, I mean, you wonder when they're taking a breath. The words just keep coming and coming and coming. And say, come on, man, take a breath. You know, sooner or later, you got to do it. When David was writing this psalm, he was in a difficult situation. If you want to read the account, it's in 1 Samuel 21 is verses 10 through 15. And that's David is being pursued by Saul because Saul wants to kill him. Isn't it always a good thing when you do nice things for people that they want to kill you? I don't know. You know, Saul brought David into his house. David didn't ask to come into the house. But when Saul would have his episodes, David would play on his instrument and bring peace to the mind of Saul. And yet, that wasn't enough. Saul wanted him dead because Saul was the king and David was getting higher praise from the people. So, he's after Saul. Now, in an attempt to get away from the pursuit of Saul, David goes to Gath, and he tries to get asylum, some aid from Achish, who was the king. Now, some versions will say Abimelech. Same guy. Abimelech, it's said to is more like a title than a name. Excuse me. We're going to get through this. You know, much like Herod, we speak of Herod, but Herod was a title. Herod wasn't the guy's name. And so, you know, don't be confused if I talk about Achish when it's when you're reading Abimelech. It's the same guy. All right. David goes to Gath. Achish is not a friend of Israel, you know. And David has come to the conclusion, adopted the philosophy that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And he's hoping that he can be helped out in this situation. Well, not so much, you see. Because what happened was he got into the courts, and there were people who obviously recognized him as to who he was. That was David. That was the guy that killed the champion, Goliath of Gath. And they're fully aware of him. They were not about to accommodate him. Saul wanted him killed, and the people of Gath would have been very happy just to abide by that and kill him too. So in effect, David's leaping out of the frying pan and into the fire. He's aware of this. He knows he's been found out. And so David has determined to test his acting skills at this point. And it says that he became like a madman. And he started scratching at the doorposts and running around and drooling all over the place. Not somebody you really want to have over for dinner. But, he was not looking for dinner. He was looking for, a place to hide out. And he made himself like a crazy man. He earned an Academy Award for that performance because it worked. And he was helped along on his flight from Saul. So for that moment, David was able to catch his breath, enjoy a little bit of rest, and he used that time to write a song, this particular one. He said, "I will bless the Lord at all times." You know, in a situation where at any moment an enemy may appear whose only mission in life is to take yours, David's singing God's praises. This is unusual to human nature. This has to be the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. And he's singing God's praise in a moment where the enemy is at the door. It's not always easy to do the right thing. Sometimes it's a real struggle. Sometimes you really have to fight to do the right thing. It's like a determination has to well up inside you that says, "I will do the right thing regardless of what's going on around me, regardless of the consequences even." Once God by his grace regenerates us, once we become born again, we can will to do good. We can develop a determination to do the right thing according to God's principles. We express that determination, and a God-given strength is provided to us to do His will. That's how we can accomplish it. We can't do it on our own. We don't have human ability to do spiritual things, to accomplish spiritual goals and things. So what was it that David willed? What was the will of David that he was expressing in this song? It was to bless the Lord. His desire was to bless the Lord. Now, considering his dilemma, wouldn't it be easier to complain? I mean, if it was really bad all around you, all the time, wouldn't complaint be the easier route to take? Or even express some anger? Say, God, if you're so big, God, if you're so strong, if you're so knowledgeable, if nothing occurs outside of your decree, then why don't you fix this? We may have those same thoughts when we look at our political, arena that we live in. We can find moments of frustration and say, God, why don't you stop this? God has ordained His people to do His will, and if we do the things that we ought to do, we can put an end to that sort of thing, God willing. But we can get frustrated. We might sit back, and especially when we're dealing with a lot of personal issues or things like that, and take a, why me? Why me? I'm a nice guy. Sometimes people like me. Sometimes maybe not so much, but sometimes they like me. David was a shepherd musician who loved the Lord. And he could say, after all these things, I've demonstrated my love for you. Why are you doing this to me? You ever feel that way? You ever get in that situation where you feel like, God, I am really trying to serve you. I really am trying to live the Christian life. And every time the phone rings or every time the mailman comes, I don't want to deal with it. I don't get it. How come I can't just go to the doctor and get a clean bill of health? I'm trying to be a faithful servant, Lord. I pray. I read my Bible. Yeah. I talk to other people about your gospel. And how come I'm having these issues? Why me? But David didn't yield to those natural impulses. He gives us a great example by writing this song of praise. He wants us to bless the Lord, regardless of our circumstance, just as he did initially. It says, not only did David desire to bless God, but the desire extended to every circumstance and every situation. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Okay. How are your times? We got good times, bad times, indifferent times. And David says, bless the Lord at all times pushes us along, encourages us. The Lord, and here's the key, the Lord is worthy of praise regardless of what our situation is. There is never a moment where God is not worthy of praise. There is never that opportunity or occasion, I guess, that God says, okay, you don't have to praise me now. I'm not worthy of your praise now. Can you imagine God saying that? Can you possibly imagine that? That's ridiculous. That's absurd. God is our creator. He is our redeemer. He is our provider. Almighty God is our protector. God had his hand on David. David was going through some difficult things. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you had to act crazy? I'm saying had to act crazy, not did act crazy. In order to save your life. No. But God was still worthy of praise even in that circumstance. It's in God where our hope of eternal salvation lies. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. And then he said what? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, David had done a brilliant job of acting. He'd convinced Achish that he was insane. And that performance got him a temporary trip out of harm's way. For the moment, he was safe. And he didn't spend any time meditating on his own success. He didn't do that. He didn't spend any time thinking about his own glory. Didn't do that. It was God's praise that he concerned himself with. If there was to be any boasting, it would be in the Lord. And in the Lord's performance. Because you see, David could have done an Academy Award winning performance to demonstrate insanity and win something. But if God's hand wasn't in it, it was all for naught. It wouldn't have been believable. And he'd have suffered consequences there. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Spurgeon said, to bless the Lord is never unseasonable. You don't need a special time. Any time is a good time to bless the Lord. His praise continually in my mouth. And why did he say that? Why did he say in my mouth and not in my heart? He didn't say his praise will continually be in my heart. He said be in my mouth. Remember, Jesus taught that the mouth reveals the heart. Who the person truly is. And maybe David just had that foresight, you know, to say, all right, if I'm speaking it, it's real inside of me. It's really a part of who I am. Now, there are literalists in the world. If His praise is continually in my mouth, does that mean we become nonstop talkers? Well, the Word says His praise continually shall be in my mouth. Do you talk in your sleep? Maybe. I know you do. He's not talking about the actual words that we use as a constant thing. He's talking about an attitude that's behind them. If the only thing our mouth utters is praise to the Most High, if that's the only thing that we say, there's a lot of daily business that's not going to get done. What would you like for dinner? Oh, God, You are so good to me. You are so wonderful. I appreciate You. What do you want for dinner? Oh, God, I appreciate the blessing of your love to me. I appreciate the salvation that You've given to me. I appreciate all. But what do you want for dinner? You see, you're going to have problems if the only thing you're uttering, if the only thing coming out of your mouth is His praise. So obviously, that's not what David is saying. That the only thing we is God's praise. The idea is that we should have a constant attitude of praise that regularly and daily and often during the day will manifest itself in the words that we speak. You know, I'm sure you've come across them. There's people in the world who have developed less than honorable speech patterns. There are people that will, they can't give you a sentence without some vulgarity, obscenity, something. It's, and for many of them, it is just a speech pattern. They don't even know what they're saying. It's just, you know, certain four-letter adjectives that they're just part of their life. They don't think about it. It's not good. It's not proper, not appropriate. But it's the pattern of speech that they developed. Now, oftentimes, people come to Christ and recognize that evil speech pattern, and so they attempt to correct it. And where you know they would have used a four-letter word or some type of expletive before, now they just transfer it to say, "Oh, God bless this," or you know, this is another one of those God bless things. That's not exactly what David's writing about either. That's not a good thing, you know, because there's no genuineness from it. It's rote. It's mouthing words without thought. It's just going on and on. All they've done is replaced one language, if you would, for another. Our prayer should be that God would grant us an ability to carry out this scripture, to have His praise continually in our mouth, to have that attitude possess us in our daily life. So we never have to worry about a word that we're going to say, because it'll always be proper. It'll always be edifying. It'll always be glorifying to God. And if we say, well, today I don't really have the mood for it. Today I don't really have, you know, things are not going so well, and I just don't know what else to do but to stomp around and snort and spit. You know, we got to remember this. Jesus Christ is still our Savior. Jesus Christ still was crucified for us. Jesus Christ rose again from the grave. He loves us. He's worthy of our praise, regardless of the situation. And remember, you're not living outside of His domain. His hand is always over top of you. The conflicts that you deal with are conflicts He knows all about. So you can still praise Him. Still maintain that attitude. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank You this